the book of Jonah this morning. I'm going to move some stuff just because it's what I do. I'm excited this morning because I get to put an exclamation point on what I believe has been a fantastic journey through the book of Jonah. My prayer is that through this time, through understanding the story of Jonah and reading it, that you would feel refreshed and you would feel encouraged and that you would feel strengthened, that you would have let it affect you in a positive way. So this week, and I know I wasn't here last week, I wasn't present last week, but I heard that Glenna did a great job and you guys heard about obedience and following the Lord. So we're going to continue looking at the final chapter of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Jonah chapter 4, and I'm going to run through the entire chapter in one fell swoop, and then we're going to kind of go back to it. That's kind of what I want to do. Jonah 4, 1 to 11, goes like this. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, that this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish? I knew that you were a gracious God, compassionate, gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than live." Once again, asking to die. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant, made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, "It would be better for me to die than live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And I should not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals." Remember the first week we talked about Jonah? Pastor Ben went over the outline, and then I took the first week, and I said there was some things that I wanted you to know about Jonah. One of those things is that he was angry. And we can really see it in full focus within this passage. He was not happy about what was going on, clearly. So let's take a look at the first verse of this passage again, which is 4:1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Interesting. According to his expectations, according to his view on things, things were not right. In fact, they were very wrong. And so what was Jonah's response within that? He got angry. He got angry. I'm sure that on this journey, that this path that Jonah was on, he began to formulate expectations on thoughts on things that he wanted to see happen. And we can see that as, according to Jonah, God didn't do what Jonah wanted him to do. So he got angry. And it says in Jonah 3:10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. See, Jonah had set his expectations that he would preach against the city and that God would destroy it like he said he was going to. But God is a God of grace and mercy, compassionate, and he did not bring on the city the disaster that it fully deserved. Herein lies the problem that is present in Jonah and in a lot of us as well. Expectation versus reality. So we have things, an expectation of how we want to see things go. We have a desire on how we want to see those things go. And when they don't go according to plan, when we don't get what we want, when our expectations are not met, we're filled with feelings of resentment and feelings of anger. Where do those feelings come from, really? They come from the fact of we had set our expectations and it wasn't met. And so now we're mad about that. I'll tell you guys a story. When I was in my 20s, when I was younger, I guess in my 20s, my brother and I decided we wanted to make a business. So we were talking about what business we were going to make. We wanted to do something that would help people and still make us some money. You know, definitely wasn't saintly motivation. But enough motivation to get us off the ground, and we started. Listen, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into this project, and it blew up. Okay, that means it went from 9 people meeting in a pool bowling alley, not pool, a bowling alley, like party room. And if you've ever tried to meet in those, don't. It's horrible. Like you're trying to talk and you hear people screaming and it was horrible. In under 6 months, we had 800 people meeting in a building that was larger than this, all there for that purpose. In a little less than 6 months, we were happy. We had talked to other businesses, models that were doing the same thing, and everything was going great. Jen and I sunk everything that we had into this. And when I mean everything, like I mean everything. All the savings, cashed out all the retirement, like we put into it. It was a sure thing. We were definitely going to make this happen. I was sure that my return on investment means that I would be paid back the money that I put into the business, and then some. I had all these expectations of what I wanted to see happen. Well, then the government decided, we're going to go ahead and switch that regulation and not have that anymore. Effectively ending our business, like, literally, from a Friday to a Monday. And we're not going to continue on with the business with it being illegal, so it was done. My hopes and dreams, everything was done. And now listen, I went a step further. I don't know about you guys, but I'm all in. Like, I don't just expect. Like, I live into the expectation. Have you guys ever done that? Like, I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to get a good amount of money from this. This is going to be great. You know, as a mid-20-something without Jesus in my life, this was to be life-changing for me, monetarily wise. Looking back, it probably would have been in a negative manner. But I started going, okay, so if I'm going to get all this money, like, what kind of car am I going to get? Like, okay, and what kind of custom house am I going to have built for myself? Like, this is where I went, people. I was immersed in my expectation, just like, yes. So when it didn't happen, all of a sudden I got feelings of anger, feelings of resentment, feelings of embarrassment and shame. And to be honest, the embarrassment and shame were the worst because I had tried to make a wise decision. And let's be real. I was like, okay, Jen, you know, this is what we're going to do. And I've convinced her that this is the right thing to do. And I thought I did my homework, but it wasn't a wise decision. And have you guys ever had feelings that fuel other feelings? So my shame fueled my anger. My anger fueled my depression. My depression fueled my shame. And it was this circle that I found myself in for like a year. I was in this. It was really bad. However, that is not how the story ends. That is just a turning point and an amazing turning point in my life. That business, that failed business and the unmet expectations allowed me and gave me the ability to do what I'm doing right now. I grew up and I hated public speaking. I would get up there and know what I want to say and look in your eyes and not be able to remember anything. Nothing. I didn't even speak English. I was like. But through this, I gained the experience and the ability to do that. While I was wallowing in my sorrow of my expectations not being met, God was still doing a work in me, still preparing me. How his plan always reigns supreme. I think about that and about how Jonah was angry with God because his expectations weren't met. That God had not had, that he actually had relented and destroyed Nineveh, or not destroyed Nineveh. He's going, what? Like, you said you were going to do this. I put my expectation that this was going, what was going to happen, and you didn't deliver on it. He was angry because God didn't do what he wanted to do, what he wanted God to do. But then God asked Jonah a very pointed question. I love those questions, that there's no fluff on these questions. This is right to it. We're getting right down to the nitty-gritty, right? And it is, is it right for you to be angry? Is it really right? Now, understanding from what we saw in Jonah and we've read the book, I'm going to ask you the question, was it right for Jonah to be angry? No. Please don't say yes. Please say no. The right answer is no. No, it was not right for him to angry. Jonah's expectations were set by what he wanted to see happen. I mean, it seems a little morbid that Jonah would be so upset at the death of his dream of seeing the Ninevites destroyed that he would be like, kill me. That town, city of 120,000 people was not decimated. Kill me now. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. Now, after this pointed question from God, One which you'll notice in the text, Jonah didn't answer. Not right away. Is it right for you to be angry? Jonah's like, I'm going to grab my stuff and go. But where did he go? He grabbed his stuff and he went outside the city and he sat down and waited to see what would happen, the text said. Okay, hold on. If we go back, we just heard God say, I'm not going to destroy the city. And Jonah's like, all right, well, I'm going to go over here just in case you decide to destroy the city. Right? He grabbed his popcorn and his soda and he sat down. He's like, show's about to start. Even within everything, he didn't change his expectation. He still expected God to destroy the city. At this point, Jonah is hot. If you've read it, Jonah's hot. Both emotionally, he's angry, and physically, he's sitting out there in the heat. But the story didn't start out with Jonah's obedience, did it? He's like, no, you want me to go to Nineveh? I'm going to go ahead and take a ship to Tarshish. No, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm not going to obey. Not. And then all of a sudden, he starts obeying. Okay, I'll go to Nineveh. Okay, God, I will do what you want me to do. I'm going to preach against Nineveh. I'm going to obey. And then he goes, doesn't that mean that things should turn out the way that I want them to? Doesn't that mean that I should see the things happen that I want to have happen? This is us on many occasions. Because we're obedient to God. We're like, yes, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. But see, God, I have these expectations. And I'm going to go ahead and place them on you about what I want to see happen, as though our obedience are the reins that allow us to control God. It's like, hey, I've been obedient to you, God, so go ahead and slip this on and then allow me to go ahead and pull you where I need you to go so that I can make sure that my expectations are met. Is this true obedience if our thought process is this way? No. And if your thought process is not this way, then why do we get so mad and jealous when our life does not turn out as we hoped it would? Why do we get so angry when our expectations aren't met? I mean, we're obedient. We're obedient. We're sitting here. We've done what God wants us to do, yet we sit here in the sun, baking out here. But we're waiting for God to do what we want him to do. We're wondering if God is going to do what we have expected him to do. So many of us are like Jonah, sitting in the sun going, God, are you going to do what I want you to do now? I will ask the pointed question that God asked Jonah, is it right for us to be angry in this sense? Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for us to take our expectations and to heave them on to God here? And then to get angry when he doesn't follow through? When he doesn't meet that expectation and when those expectations don't come to fruition? Even in Jonah's anger, God offered relief in the form of the leafy green plant. Aw, that's nice. Right? And so he had some relief. Ah, but then what's he do? He's like, I'm going to go ahead and appoint a worm. Chew that plant away. It's going to wither. Then I'm going to appoint a scorching east wind to come out and make it even worse than before. As I'm reading this, I'm like, wow, that's kind of jacked up. Like he just gets his shade. He's like, yes, it's me and my plant. We're boys. Yes. And then all of a sudden the plant's like, no. And then it's worse than it was before. Why? This is God teaching Jonah a lesson in compassion. Because apparently Jonah doesn't have any. He's not compassionate at all within this. So in verse 9, we see a conversation between Jonah and God in regards to the plant. It says, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. And I, to tell you what, I've read through this a million times. And I cannot read that second part without going into a voice of a toddler. It is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Like, I'm sure my kids have said that to me many, many a time. But this is an angry child. Just going, yes, it is. It is right for me to be angry. I can be angry about that. He's so consumed with his anger that he thinks it's okay for him to be angry about the plant. So much anger resides in Jonah that he's like, I just want to die. Really, Jonah? Really? Okay, so the plant withered. okay, and it's hot, and I understand you're so faint that you want to die. Like, I get that. But this dude's got some serious anger issues. Serious. Not too far gone for God to fix. But you know what? God wants to dive right past that and get to the root of the problem, which is Jonah's compassion. God points out in verse 10, like, you pitied the plant, but it sprouted up overnight, and you didn't do anything. Do you realize that, Jonah? You did nothing. You didn't water it. You didn't tend it. You didn't make it grow. I made it grow, and it gave you shade, yet you pitied it. But yet you would not pity Nineveh. Finally, Jonah shows some compassion, but it's over a plant. And it's not over the 120,000 people who had said, God, we made a mistake. We're going to repent. God, we will turn from our ways. But that's not good enough for him, because he has his expectation that the city should be destroyed. No compassion. God's like, you had compassion, but it's in the wrong place. You need to be compassionate and want me to pity Nineveh, not the plant. He spends so much time being angry that he's unable to show compassion to people who need it the most. How much of this story aligns with yours? How much this morning are you looking at your life and going, man, that really sounds like me? Our life seldom turns out the way that we wanted to, and sometimes our hopes are dashed against the rocks and shattered. What will be our response to this? Will it be like Jonah, to retreat, to say, God, just kill me now. I'm going to abandon my plans. I'm just going to be done. Is that going to be our response? Your life is to turn out the way that God had planned it. So is it right for you to be angry or jealous when it doesn't turn out the way that you've wanted it to? No. Because in everything that we do, we glorify God. We glorify him in everything that we do. With our life, we use it to glorify him. And how can we do that? How can we accomplish it with reactions of this nature? 2 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. This is pretty clear that everything that we do, no matter what, needs to be done to the glory of God. We glorify God in our sufferings. We glorify God in our unmet expectations. We glorify God in our altered plans. We need to give everything to God in this life. And even if we get repaid with nothing, we do it anyway. When God sent Jesus down to this earth to die for you, you received everything. You don't need anymore. You've received everything. Just like we heard in my story about my business and my expectations through it, I worked and I worked and I worked and I received nothing, or so I thought. But God actually was preparing me and teaching me some things I wouldn't learn for years, years later down the line. But even if I work for God and I say I'm going to be obedient and nothing comes of that, it's still worth every moment that I spent doing it, glorifying him through it. We can feel encouraged this morning that through everything that God is sovereign means he is over everything and he is in control of it all. We've been programmed to have these expectations in every scenario, but with many times our path and plan, God's path for our life being a step-by-step revelation. What's that mean? Is I don't know, okay, there it is. A lot of the times you're not seeing 3, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead. You are seeing right as you're about to put your foot down, it is revealed what that is. So I know that sometimes it can be hard to stop our mind from making those expectations. Sometimes we can go, I don't want to make those expectations, but your mind starts doing it. I get it. Why don't we try something different this morning? Why don't we try not owning your expectations? Not marrying yourself to your expectations or to your expectations. Got my guys in the band, love them, but they know I'm open to any opinion. You want to try a song differently? I'm open to that. But I always tell the guys, don't own it. Don't marry yourself to it. Why? Because you might come and be like, this is amazing, Paul, check this out. And I'm like, I don't like that at all. We're not using that. Okay? If they're not married to the expectations, they're not married to that, they go, oh man, all right, that sucks. Okay, cool. If they are, I get the, well, come on. Well, no, come on. Well, let's just try it like 500 different ways so you like it. No. Can we be the same way in our expectations with God? Because listen, when they're altered, and they will be, your expectations, if we're not married to those expectations, it's like us going, okay, well, this is what I want to see happen, and then God changes it, and we go, okay. Because I'm not married to that, I find that my level of discontentment within it drops significantly when my expectations don't come to fruition. My prayer is that through this life that you would understand that it's never going to be always a smooth ride, that you're going to hit some storms in your life, and something as small as a worm can take your comfort right away. However, it should silence our discontent to remember that even when our shade is gone, our God is not. Let's pray. God, thanks for this time, Father. Thank you so much for the story and life of Jonah. Father, we can get from it obedience to you and your amazing compassion. Father, help us to follow you in obedience every single day. And Lord, I know that sometimes it's hard for us to stop our brain from making those expectations. But God, if we cannot do that, help us at least not to marry ourselves to those, not to have ownership of those. So when they change, and they will, Father, that we just roll with it, understanding that your plan is best. Father, use us and mold us in any way that you see fit, Father. Help us to glorify you with everything that we have every single day. We love you, God. We pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen.